This is episode 158 of the Nursing Home Abuse Podcast, suing a nursing home for injuries related to the use of bed rails.
The Nursing Home Abuse Podcast is dedicated to providing news and information for families whose loved ones have been injured in a nursing home. Here are your hosts, Georgia attorneys Rob Schenck and Will Smith.
Hello out there. Welcome back to the podcast. My name is Rob. I will be your host. This week, we have a very informative episode about a topic that I think is, I don't think there's a lot of information about it out in the public. There's a lot of misinformation. It's because the injury is kind of counterintuitive, and that is injuries, serious injuries, from the use of bed rails in nursing homes. Before we get into the content, though, I would super appreciate it if you could like or subscribe wherever you get your podcast from. That really actually does help us in the grand scheme of things as the creators of the content of this podcast. You can go to YouTube, leave a comment. If you have suggestions, if you have a loved one in a nursing home and you want us to talk about a certain topic or subject matter, please let us know. We would love to hear from you. So again, like and subscribe, leave a comment. Maybe even review the podcast. We would love that as well. So the topic of the day is bed rails. Bed rails, literally the railing that goes on the side of your loved one's bed if they have that type of hospital type of bed at the nursing home. These are rails that can either be lifted up or could be installed on the sides. They come in all shapes and sizes. They can run full length of the bed, they can be a quarter, half, whatever the case may be. But there's, you know, a counterintuitive idea about bed rails. Most people, and even myself before I got into this line of work, I just assumed that, hey, bed rails are a good thing. Everybody needs them because, you know, you don't want to roll out of bed while you're sleeping. I remember as a kid, I had bunk beds with my brother in a room, and I believe for a time that we had bed railings on the top bunk for that purpose. But in fact, you know, bed rails can be extremely dangerous, and so much in fact that the default pretty much is, due to the safety concerns, the default rule is we don't use these unless the condition requires it. So the question of the day is, why, what makes bed rails so dangerous? Well, they're, according to some recent statistics, over the course of a 20-year period, there were over 800, close to 1,000 incidents of either a patient at a hospital or a nursing home resident becoming literally caught or entrapped between the mattress or the bed and the actual rail, which causes asphyxiation and choking. So of those 800 or to 1,000 incidents, almost 500 people died, 138 had non-fatal injuries, so still injured but not fatally, and many, the injury did not result because the staff of the hospital, the nursing home, intervened in time. So what's the cause of those dangers? The issue is if the resident is, has no cognitive impairments, is mobile, then, you know, that asphyxiation danger isn't quite as high. It's not, obviously, it's not a problem. You or I can go to sleep at night, and if we become entrapped, you know, we have the physical ability and the cognitive ability to get out of that situation. But when you're dealing with an individual that might have cognitive impairments, or more importantly, might have some type of paralysis or be immobile. There are sometimes when somebody is immobile, but might have involuntary movements, and that's how their body moves into that position where they become trapped and they're unable to breathe. And because of cognitive impairments or other chronic illnesses, they can't cry out for help and become trapped and unfortunately become seriously injured or killed. So that's the mechanical, that's the mechanics of actually what is happening, is that you have an individual that's can barely move, chronic illnesses prevent them from crying out. And that's unfortunately, that's what happens. And it happens so often that, you know, we've passed laws regarding the use of bed rails in nursing homes. So what would be the reason? And again, the main reason that comes to mind is, well, you know, what's worse, the danger of falling out of bed and hurting yourself or becoming asphyxiated by the bed rail. And that's pretty much the principle, give and take. But there are many benefits to bed rails. The principal benefit of bed rails, like I said, is that it's most of the time going to prevent the resident from rolling out of bed. And that can happen to the best of us. That can happen to people that, you know, are as young as, you know, 10, 15, doesn't matter. We've probably had an incident. Maybe we're sleeping and we roll over and we don't realize that we're on one side of the bed and we fall out. So that's the principal component of having a bed rail. But bed rails have other benefits as well. I mean, it acts as essentially a turning or repositioning device. So the resident that does have at least some mobility or some strength can use that to roll over, to kind of sit up, these type of things, logistically in the bed, to get up, roll, turn around, or what have you, which can be, you know, important if the resident isn't strong enough to do that kind of on their own. They would need that assistive device, and that's what the rail does. It helps with transferring. So for residents that need a little bit of extra assistance to get out of the bed, or get into the bed, the rail is there. It, from a social or mental or emotional standpoint, it provides a little bit of, comfort and security in terms of, like, you know, when, well, this rail is here, so I'm less likely to fall out of bed. Maybe they'll sleep easier. So there are some benefits aside from the risk of falling for the use of bed rails. But as I mentioned, the risks, depending on the situation of the resident, can outweigh those benefits. And so, again, one of the other downsides, aside from the risk of asphyxiation, is kind of like the opposite end of the comfort and security component of it, where the resident may feel comforted by the fact that there is a rail there. And that is the idea that the rail there is a restraint. So we've had a couple of episodes, or off the top of my head, I think we've had a couple of episodes concerning the use of restraints in nursing homes. And a restraint in a nursing home can be any mechanical device, or actually chemical device like a medication, that is designed to restrict the movement or the mobility of the resident. So think of anything from putting something in front of the door so the resident can't get out, to placing a tray on a wheelchair that prevents the resident from standing up. Any type of device, even if it's not intended to restrain the resident, can be considered a restraint. And we have federal regulations, state regulations that say that you cannot, in most situations, restrain a resident. And that's what I was saying is the flip side of having a rail there. Some people might think it's a comfort, but most of the time it's going to act, particularly where the resident has mobility issues, as a restraint on their ability to get out and move around. So that's another kind of reason why the use of bed rails are frowned upon, because from a basic standpoint, it's a restraint. Even if it's a quarter rail or half rail, if it makes it more difficult for that person to get up and get out, then you are infringing on that resident's rights. So what are the alternatives to using a bed rail? Well, the alternatives, I guess, are going to depend on what the primary purpose of the bed rail is. So if the bed rail is being used to prevent the resident from falling out of bed, that's the rationale, then there are several alternatives to bed rails. The first one is essentially having a bed that can be raised and lowered, and then, in fact, lowering that bed to its lowest position, such that if the resident falls out, they're not falling from three or four feet. They might be falling from 18 inches, 2 feet, which can be the difference between a scratch or a subdural hematoma that causes the resident to pass. So placing a bed, having an adjustable bed, placing it in the lowest position is one of the primary workarounds or alternatives to having a bed rail. Another is fall mats. And we've actually had an episode dealing with fall mats and in the mechanics of how the body hits the ground after a fall, and how floor mats can take the brunt of the force, such that if the resident does fall out of that bed and hits their head, that mat's going to absorb the fall so that any resulting injury would be mitigated or lessened. So again, another alternative. So a lowest position, floor mats. And then this is one that is almost always overlooked because of staffing issues, but it's to have appropriate monitoring and rounding so you can keep an eye on the resident. So a lot of times we'll see cases in which the resident falls out of bed. And typically it's because of some type of trigger. So for example, the resident needs to use the restroom. The resident is getting out of bed because in their mind, they're going to work. Some type of environmental or mental trigger that is causing that resident to get out of bed. So the nursing staff should make regular rounds and monitor that resident and assess the resident for those triggers and try to, be there for that resident. So if it's a toileting issue, then you make sure that, Mr. Smith visits the restroom at 11 p.m. because that's the time that he tries to get out of bed to do it himself. Monitoring and observing the resident to prevent that risk of fall is, an often overlooked alternative to side rails themselves if the purpose of the side rail is to prevent falls. Now, if the purpose of the side rail is for bracing oneself or transferring, then there are other aids and there are other devices that can do that at the time of transferring. So you can use like the gait belts and things like that, lifts. In most instances, the use of that bed rail, you won't need it. Like it wouldn't be something that is necessary when you have a lot of rather inexpensive alternatives. I mean, we're not talking about having to spend millions of dollars to prevent somebody from falling out of bed. It's as simple as mats and putting the bed in the lowest position and then watching that person, assessing that person. Person-centered care will prevent that person from falling out of the bed. And where the nursing home is in the category where they need to use a side rail, then the standard of care is to make sure that only the amount of bed rail that's absolutely necessary is up. So not having the full bed rail, if it's not necessary, just doing it half or a quarter. making sure that there's, you know, that it's maybe at one side of the bed, at the foot of the bed versus the head of the bed, and then making sure that the mattress size is workable such that there's not a gap between the mattress and the actual bed rail, which is the cause of the entrapment and the asphyxiation. So even where you have to have the bed rail, you're doing everything you can to mitigate the safety issues involved in it. So what are the federal regulations, as I mentioned at the top of the show, what are the federal regulations with regard to the use of bed rails? So again, every nursing home in the country is regulated by the federal government if they take Medicare or Medicaid, which is 99.9% of them. And so because they take Medicare and Medicaid, they can be overseen by the federal government rather than the state government, although state government does oversee nursing homes in their individual states. But the regulation that I'm referring to here is the federal regulation. And so the federal regulation is that every nursing home facility must attempt to use appropriate alternatives prior to installing a side or bed rail. If a bed or side rail is used, the facility must ensure correct installation, use, and maintenance of bed rails, including but not limited to the following elements: assess the resident for risk of entrapment from bed rails prior to installation, review the risks and benefits of bed rails with the resident or resident representative, and obtain informed consent prior to installation, ensure that the bed's dimensions are appropriate for the resident's size and weight, and follow the manufacturer's recommendation and specifications for installing and maintaining bed rails. So that's literally the federal regulations. Like, every nursing home has to go through these steps if they are going to use side and bed rails. And again, we often have clients come in and go, we demanded that they use bed rails before my loved one fell. And again, it's the counterintuitive nature of this, that, you know, it's a kind of an unknown risk. So years ago, our federal government decided that, you know, after these studies, that we needed a regulation for this to prevent these asphyxiation injuries. And that's where you get this federal regulation. So I guess the $64,000 question is, can you sue a nursing home if your loved one was injured or killed due to the use of bed rails or side rails? And the answer is yes. Typically, a case against a nursing home, a negligence case against a nursing home for this type of injury, is going to require at minimum a showing of negligence, meaning that the nursing home did or did not do something that they were supposed to do. And as we see in many cases, we call that the breach of the standard of care. And so the standard of care can be the federal regulations, as you see here. It can be state regulations. It can be best practices. It can be the policies and procedures of the actual nursing home. But at the end of the day, most of the time, it's going to come down to, if your loved one was injured or killed due to a bed rail, the issue will be, did the nursing home conduct an appropriate assessment of your loved one such that it was determined that the use of bed rails was necessary? Then it's going to be, did the nursing home take reasonable precautions in the use of those bed rails or side rails? And if the answer is no, they did not, then you've met the negligence component of that that case. So that's going to be the factual issue for these type of cases. Was an assessment done? So did the nursing home do a head-to-toe assessment, taking into account cognitive capacity, mobility, chronic illnesses, the risk of becoming entrapped? And based on that assessment, which, you know, under federal regulations is required to be done by nursing staff as well as physicians and nurses aides that actually provide the direct care, person-centered assessment, creating a person-centered care plan that, you know, ultimately determine that bed rails are necessary. if, you know, that's the main key. And then, like I said, the second component of that is typically a nursing home is going to be negligent with regard to the use of the bed rail. We've seen cases where, you know, the client has come in, or the loved one of the resident that has been injured comes in, and they'll show us pictures where, you know, there's a 6-inch gap between the mattress and that bed rail. That's a blatant breach of the standard of care in that sense, from every component, federal, state regulations, and standard in the general practice care, standard of care, best practice of the area. So these cases don't happen too often, although they are, you know, I would say also they're common, but it's not the most common injury that we see by and large. But if you have a loved one that was injured with a bed rail, then chances are there probably was some type of negligence involved, and you are recommended to seek out the counsel of an attorney to talk about that case. These can be pretty gruesome cases, and they're very sad cases because, as I mentioned, there are alternatives to the use of side rails. So other things could have been done to mitigate whatever the danger was for using the bed rail. I think that is going to conclude this particular episode of the Nursing Home Abuse Podcast. We hope you found that informative. And if you like the content of the podcast, please like and subscribe wherever you get your podcast from. If you're watching this on YouTube, please leave a comment. Let us know if you want to see anything or have us talk about any particular subject matter. The Nursing Home Abuse Podcast comes out every other week on Monday. That's when you can get new episodes fresh and hot off the kitchen. And I believe with that, we'll see you next time.
Thanks for tuning in to the Nursing Home Abuse Podcast. Nothing said on this podcast, either by the host or the guest, should be construed as legal advice, nor is intended to create an attorney-client relationship between the host or their guest and the listener. New episodes are available every Monday on Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher, or on your favorite podcast app, as well as on YouTube and our website, nursinghomeabusepodcast.com. Again, that's nursinghomeabusepodcast.com. See you next time.